The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
And my lovely and attractive co-host, who makes Casual Friday what it is, because she's the one who does all the work for the show, Elisa Profumo. How are you, Elisa?
I'm great. How are
you?
Yes,
you are great. I can tell just by looking at you. Anyway, we've got a great show planned for you today. I love Casual Fridays because I get to goof off a little bit, you know? It doesn't have to be so serious, but we have some really important information today, too.
Yes, we do, and it feels like it's been a long time since I've been in the studio.
Well, it has. We took off last week.
Yes.
Because we had to go out west. Everybody knows about my mom and all that. I've been talking about it, you know, continuously all week long. I get lots of nice messages from many of you. I appreciate the outpouring of support from all of our listeners. Anyway, I guess the first thing we really want to talk about is the Hollywood version of what is sexy in this day and age.
Interestingly enough, I picked up a People magazine. I was at the grocery store and I had to wait in line, so I'm like flipping through the magazine and I decided to purchase it because...
Do you normally buy People? Just curious.
No.
Okay.
No, I bought it because I wanted to show you... They have bikinis at every age, and they have women from their 20s to their 50s who are supposedly bathing beauties that look great in bikinis.
Right.
And I wanted to show you the photos.
Right.
So when I showed them to you, what did you think?
I said there's not an ounce of muscle between the whole bunch of them.
None of them had any muscle on their bodies.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We're not talking about bodybuilder muscle. We're talking about women with any visible musculature or curved shoulders or upper arm separation between shoulders and upper arm. Nothing. It's
nothing.
Just smooth.
Skinny.
I want to be careful about using that word skinny because skinny
almost
thin. Implies something good.
They look thin in their bathing suits.
Not lean. Not
exactly.
Lean. Skinny
thin.
Fat.
Exactly.
And that's the new standard for today.
Most of them had no muscle tone whatsoever. I was shocked.
And you know, there is a movement today that, you know,
strong is the new skinny,
or strong is the new sexy, or strong is the new skinny. I forget which one it is, but the bottom line is that women are starting to recognize, hey, we need muscle too.
Exactly. But what I find interesting is you look at the men that they've listed in here, and they're all very muscular.
Right. Exactly.
So why is it different for women? You don't have to be muscular, but you need some muscle tone.
Well, look at the models that you see in magazines. Do any of them have any muscle?
No.
Most of them look, you know, almost anorexic. Most of them are so waifish looking that their heads look enormous because their bodies are so whittled down.
I do have to say, though, they did have a few women on here like Halle Berry and Jennifer Aniston that do look in shape.
Right. They look, you could tell, like Halle Berry has shoulders. She has upper arms. You can see the separation between her upper arms and shoulders. She has quad muscles that when she was walking in that picture, you could see like her muscles flexing. Yeah, she's muscular and she has done action movies and she probably keeps in great shape as a result.
And Jennifer Aniston has a cute figure.
Yeah, she does too.
But as we were talking this morning, on MSN, they had a thing about the sexiest women.
Right.
And it was different. And they had, well, they had Halle Berry on there and they had Jennifer Aniston. And most of the women had ethnic backgrounds. They had Jennifer Lopez on there.
Right.
So Beyonce.
Curvier women, like Beyonce's muscular.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got upper, you know, shoulders and arms. I mean, she's got all that as well when you look at her.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, she's big. You know, she's a big girl. But it's interesting the different perspectives from one magazine to another, a media organization, what they think is sexy.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting. They had on MSN, they had Helen Mirren on there, and she's 65 years old.
And she is attractive.
She is. I agree.
Yeah. I mean, she is actually probably looks better now than she did when she was younger.
But what's really frustrating in this People magazine is they talk about women and different sizes of women.
Right.
They said real body, real sizes. They had one woman was a size 4, one was a size 8, and that really doesn't mean anything.
No.
Because you can go to one store and be a size 4. I have a pair of Ann Taylor slacks on today. They're a size 4.
Right.
But you can go somewhere else, and you might be a size 2, or you might be a size 6.
Right.
It just depends on the store and the designer.
Right. And that, once again, using your dress size or your clothing size as an indicator for your physical aptitude is like looking at the scale.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean anything at the end, because it only means something if the majority of your body is lean. And interestingly enough, recently a friend of yours said to you that she prefers these women in the media to be long and lean.
Mm-hmm.
But what she didn't mean lean. She doesn't understand what lean is, because most of the women that are considered long and lean, if they were to have their body fat tested, they're probably 30% body fat.
Mm-hmm.
That's not lean. The meaning of lean means in the absence or very, very little fat.
Right.
30% body fat is not lean. So if you think you're quote-unquote skinny, or you think that you fit in a size 4 – that you've achieved what you're looking for, you're going to have a rude awakening when you hit 70 and you can't lift yourself out of a chair. Because there's no muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And muscle is metabolic currency. I've said it so many times. I really mean it. It's the God's honest truth. If you don't have that muscle on your carcass as you age, be ready for lots of illness and lots of falls and not having a really great end of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we got to lose that desire to fit a certain size or a certain weight.
Well, it's disturbing that the media plays these things up and it gets into our heads. As a woman, it does get into your head.
Yeah, yeah. Let's shift. Do you want to cover that anymore?
I'm done.
Okay. Wow, you just ranted. People don't realize it, but that was your rant.
That was a small rant.
Yeah, there you go.
Do you want to talk about your water intake lately?
Yes, let's talk about that. And then what we'll do is we'll take a break, and then we'll talk about the best and worst of pesticide-laden produce.
Okay? Yeah, the new pesticide list just came out. The Environmental Working Group just came out with their new list.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that after the break. But first, I want to talk about this. I kind of touched on this on a show recently with Dr. Peter Rouse. I haven't been in the gym very much. As a matter of fact, today is my second day back in the gym. I haven't been eating right. And I haven't been drinking much water at all. In fact, I haven't even been carrying my gallon jug around with me. I know, everybody hates that jug. Isn't it funny? But anyway, and when I was in Arizona, I noticed that my ankles were swollen like a pregnant woman's ankles. I mean, I would look down by the end of the day, and I couldn't see my ankles. It was just these two balls of mass at the bottom. And I talked to Dr. Rouse, and the first thing he asked me is how much water am I drinking? And I said, not much. He goes, that's the first mistake. Just by going back to my gallon of water a day, I lost 6 pounds in like just a few days. And my ankles are skinny and lean again. I could see the veins in them again.
Hmm.
Now, isn't that counterintuitive?
Well, didn't he also tell you to start using a little bit of sea salt?
Yes, and I did start salting my food. I started salting my avocados and salting some of my food with sea salt. Yes, I did.
That's
interesting. He said just a pinch of sea salt.
Mm-hmm. Only sea salt, though.
Yeah, I don't know why he said sea salt. I don't understand that. Maybe it has a different osmotic effect on water than table salt. I'm not sure why sea salt acts that way, but clearly – in like a couple days, my ankles came back and I dropped 6 pounds. Keep in mind, a gallon of water is 10 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
So I was holding 60% of a gallon of water.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of water. Imagine that.
I've started drinking more water. I always drink a lot of water anyway.
Yeah, you do.
But
yeah.
One thing I've done a little bit differently is I've started adding some lemon to the water because it acts as it basically detoxes the liver.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So if you drink 1 cup of hot water with lemon in it in the morning, it will flush the toxins out of your liver before your body absorbs them.
Wow. That's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So could you just add water, lemon to all your water?
Well, I've been doing that as well.
Because I drink distilled water, and a lot of people don't like distilled water. They'll say it has a funny taste or it has a dry taste.
Well, see, that's why I've been adding lemon to the water, because I've been drinking distilled water also. So I've started adding the lemon. But you get the additional benefit of the detox from the lemon.
Now, there's a lot of theories on distilled water. Some people say it's no good for you.
Why?
Well, if distilled water is left open, it actually will absorb carbon dioxide.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're drinking water that is laden with carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide levels go up in the body. It increases anxiety. It can slow down certain metabolic processes. It can make you foggy in your head. So the rule there is don't leave the bottle open. Just open it, drink it, and close it.
Mm-hmm.
Other people say that those who follow the acidic alkaline theory, that your body should be more alkaline than acidic in order to promote health, say that distilled water makes you is an acidifier, that it will make your body more acidic if you drink distilled water. So what you have to do is just add more magnesium and sodium and potassium to your diet to kind of add more ionization to your diet, and there you'll balance out the pH. In my opinion, that's all you have to do. But there are a lot of people that are opposed to distilled water. They say, oh, distilled water is no good to drink. You should never drink it. But I've been drinking it for a decade.
Hmm.
That's all I drink, actually. We are actually on a break here. So how about this? Why don't we go ahead and take our commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the best and worst offenders on the pesticide list. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Branch chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at trueprotein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to trueprotein.com and get your BCAAs.
The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter, urethane series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
How y'all feel out there?
Oh, yeah. All right. Check this out.
Just want to remind everybody, if you ordered the Kodiak cream sample, be patient, because they got bombarded with 22,090 requests for samples in under a month. And it's well worth waiting for. The stuff is amazing. But please be patient for them to respond. You'll probably receive an email first before they ship you your sample. They want to make sure that they have correct shipping addresses, and for obvious reasons. You've been using it lately, right?
I used it, especially after I traveled and lugging my luggage around.
Tell the audience what that Shem that you were traveling with did to you.
Made me carry a heavy piece of luggage, and it had wheels on it, so I was just pulling it behind me, but my elbow did get a little irritated from it, so I started using the Kodiak cream again, and it really helped.
Yeah, makes a big difference. The stuff really is legit. It really does work.
It does work.
Anyway.
And it smells good.
I know. I love the smell. It reminds me of root beer. It smells like root beer to me. Okay, so let's talk about something else. We're big proponents of eating vegetables. If you can't grow your own, you've got to buy them. There are some times where you can get away with not buying organic, and there are some times where you absolutely must buy organic. What does the list look like?
Well, I was surprised. You know what the number one most laden pesticide fruit was?
No, what?
An apple.
That's a surprise to me. I didn't know apples were heavily sprayed.
I didn't know that either, but obviously they are. 98% of conventionally grown, of conventionally grown apples.
Okay, clear your throat. No, go ahead. I turned your mic off for a second. Go ahead.
Okay, 98% of conventionally grown apples had pesticides on them.
Wow. I mean, it's not a good thing. It's really, really not a good thing.
What's not?
To have all those pesticides. I mean, it's we don't want to, especially now that we know that the Monsanto is going to reintroduce Agent Orange. Uh-huh. They'll start using Agent Orange on all crops pretty soon if they start using it on corn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a good idea. What was number two on
number
the
two was celery.
Celery. And mm-hmm. The problem with celery, all of us know, remember that experiment that you did in school? Did you do this experiment in school? We took a piece of a stalk of celery, cut the bottom off, put it in a glass of water, and then dropped like 10 drops of blue Indian ink into the water. And the next day, the whole stalk of celery is blue. Celery, because of the veins in celery and how, mm-hmm. and how much water it absorbs. So when you think about celery, my gosh, I mean, pesticides on celery is not a good thing, because celery is like just like a magnet. It just pulls everything in it.
Well, I went to Whole Foods the other day, and I was buying organic celery, and it didn't have the USDA sticker, a seal of, on it that shows that it's organic. So I asked one of the guys there that worked there, how do I know this is organic? And had a piece of elastic on it that said organically grown on it.
Right.
And he said, well, the box it comes in has the stamp. I said, well, I can't see that stamp. He goes, well, I can go get the box and show it to you.
Good for you. Because, you're too polite to say this to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that could be said in that instance is, look, I'm not being a jerk. You do realize that What was the percentage of quote unquote organic stuff that Whole Foods sells that was not organic? Do you remember?
I can't remember what the percentage was.
It was some remarkable number. It was like 40 or 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, one could say, you know, there is reports that a lot of your stuff marked organic is not. And I just want to be sure I'm spending my money on real organic stuff.
And that, because it wasn't cheap.
I know. I just thought about something. We were supposed to blog that rapper who rapped that song about.
We'll blog that this weekend.
Yeah.
I found a video with a rapper rapping Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And in there he said he was walking out with his six items that he just paid $80
yeah,
for.
Yeah, he goes, here, take my $80 and give me my six items. He goes.
It's a good video. We should blog that.
Yeah, we'll get it up there this weekend.
But the number three item was strawberries.
Yeah, and that's scary.
That's not surprising. Strawberries have always been up there.
Yeah, and we, you know, people eat a lot of strawberries, especially in the summertime.
Number four, peaches. Number five is spinach, and I eat a lot of spinach, so I have to make sure and get organic spinach. Number six was imported nectarines.
Mm.
Number seven was imported grapes.
And a lot of grapes come from Chile now, so... I guess those are considered imported grapes, Chilean grapes.
Mm-hmm. Sweet bell peppers, 9 potatoes.
And I love sweet bell peppers, and I don't always buy organic sweet bell peppers.
I buy them at the farmer's market.
That's right. What am I thinking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number 9 was potatoes. Domestic blueberries was number 10. Lettuce was number 11. And collard greens and kale was number 12. Cilantro was number 13. It's the first time that it's been on the list.
And you know why? Because cilantro is becoming more popular and being sold more so as an herb that people are cooking with. And so in order to meet demands, they're probably having to grow crops bigger and faster, and so they're using more pesticides.
It had they found 33 unapproved pesticides on them on cilantro, and it was the highest since 1995.
Wow. That sucks. Unapproved pesticides. That's the worst of all when they're unapproved.
Okay.
Because, you know, the FDA only lets them use safe pesticides.
Okay, so the clean list. Let's go to the clean list.
Right.
You can, and also, if you want to go to Environmental Working Group's
website,
you can see the full list. And there's 53 fruits and vegetables on the list of unapproved.
Oh, man.
And I just towed the top 13.
I love EWG. They have great stuff there.
They really do. Like broccoli was number 28.
Mm-hmm.
So go to their website and get the full list. Okay, so the clean list, number one was onions for the best.
Yummy.
Number two, corn.
no one's eating that anyway. It doesn't matter.
Number three, pineapple. Four, okay. Avocado.
I love avocados.
Five was asparagus. Six was sweet peas. Seven, mangoes. Eight, eggplant. Nine, domestic cantaloupe. Kiwi, cabbage, watermelon. Yum, y'all.
Hey, yeah, your blog about watermelons, the Viagra of fruit, got a lot of responses from a lot of different people.
I know. I think Stepan and Dr. Andro were...
jousting.
Yes.
They were jousting. Because, of course, Dr. Andro goes right for citrulline malate, the supplement, 2 grams, 3-gram capsule. And of course, Stepan is a disciple of Agnes von der Planitz, who promotes... watermelon as a useful aphrodisiac, aside from other things that it has benefits in. So they were going back and forth like, well, fruit, you know, the fruit is better. No, the supplement is better.
Stepan said that it only takes 6 cups of watermelon and the rind to get the benefit of it.
Right.
And it also has lycopene in it and beta-carotene in it. And he said that it has other good things in it, and it does.
And in Stepan's defense... one of the things that we know is that when science discovers something in a fruit, oh, look, this is why it does that. When they isolate that particular ingredient and you take it as an isolate, it doesn't always work the same as it did when it was in the food. And that's because there are other synergistic effects of other things in the food that could be enhancing absorption or utilization. Or a variety of other things. And if you can get these things in whole food sources, you're always better off. You're always better off because there are other benefits. That's the bottom line.
Exactly. And I did want to mention that the Mushrooms is on the approved list for the first time.
Oh, good. I love mushrooms. I really do. Mm-hmm. I know you don't like them.
No, right? I do. I like portobello mushrooms
okay.
a lot.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because they're Italian. That's why you like them, right?
Well, and then you can put them on the grill with balsamic vinegar, and they're so good. They actually have a texture of meat when you put them on the grill
yeah.
with a little bit of olive oil and balsamic vinegar and
You're
some
right.
seasoning.
Right.
It's really good.
Yeah. Ironically, I stopped buying organic avocados when Carlos Cardenas, his family grows avocados in California. And once I asked him, I said, Carlos, are avocados a heavily sprayed crop? And he said, no, not at all. He goes, because of that hard shell, he goes, really nothing bothers them. He goes, I don't think they spray much of anything on them at all. And so I abandoned the high price of organic avocados for just conventionally grown avocados as a result of that. So Carlos has saved me some money.
Well, that's a good thing.
I know. Now,
so
let me
I
ask
guess you,
you
owe him.
Yes, I do. let me ask you a question.
Sure.
We talk a lot about growing things. You know, we tell people to grow their own herbs, grow their own vegetables, and so on. But the seed sources have been all pretty much gobbled up by Monsanto. So quite often you're buying seeds that Monsanto has Frankensteined or Frankenfooded, however you want to put it, modified or so on. Is it even possible to get heirloom seeds any longer?
Yes, it is.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where do you go?
Well, there's a couple places. One place is called Victory Seeds,
mm-hmm.
Victory, and they sell hundreds of open pollinated and heirloom seed varieties.
Okay. And is that the only place? Is that on the website? You can buy it on the internet?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Another place is Seeds of Change.
Oh, I like that one,
Seeds of Change.
That's a good one.
Yep, and they have a website. Just Google Seeds of Change. And then the last one that I found was Baker Creek Heirloom Seeds.
Heirloom
Seeds. And they offer 1,400 heirloom seeds.
Wow, that's huge. I wonder if they have heirloom corn. I bet they do.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Don't let Monsanto find out. They'll break in and steal all the seeds.
The Baker Creek heirloom seeds sell strictly open pollinated seeds, pure and not genetically modified.
Yeah, that's it. So there you go. So where you get your seeds really makes a big difference, huh?
It does.
Yeah.
And the lady at the farmer's market that I go to, she does sell seeds. She will sell them to you if
right.
you wanted to plant them.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. You know what I think is interesting? It is rumored that Bill Gates has a time capsule in either Antarctica or someplace frozen. And in that time capsule, amongst other things that he has saved heirloom seeds for a variety of food crops.
Why?
Perhaps he realizes that sometime in the future there will not be anything but genetically modified foods and people will die from it, so he will be able to go up there and get his seeds to grow his crop.
Well, that doesn't make sense because Dr. Rouse just posted on Facebook a few days ago that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation just approved a $20 million in new monies toward the development of golden rice, the highly controversial and untested genetically engineered crop.
Yeah, but that's to feed other people. Bill and Melinda will have their heirloom seeds up there for themselves, I'm saying. I don't think they're going to share them with the world.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no. Bill Gates is a depopulist. He wants to depopulate the earth. He wants less people. He feels like we don't belong here on his earth. It's his and Melinda's now.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah. And, okay. but maybe he's thinking to himself at some point in time, his great, great, great grandchildren after he's deceased will be able to sell those seeds. Maybe he's actually thinking that far in advance, like computers won't matter by then, software won't matter. People will be dying because the food will be killing them, and people will pay anything to get their hands on real food again, and his family will corner the market on real food because they'll have those heirloom seeds up there.
Hmm.
I mean, it's, you know, you have to ask yourself why a guy who is heavily invested with Monsanto and their genetically modified foods would even worry about putting heirloom seeds in a time capsule somewhere. He knows something.
Did you read that somewhere?
Yeah, I did, on a website. But, you know, it was one of those websites that also talks about the Illuminati and the New World Order and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I took it with a grain of salt. I was like, gee, I don't know if that's really true. But I do know, I did read in mainstream news that he did put a time capsule, I think, in Antarctica.
That's interesting.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we have to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will I want to talk. You know what I want to talk about when we come back?
What?
I want to talk. I've talked about on this show numerous times, having other guests on the show. I've said if companies could figure out how to feed us our own poop, they would. I've said that, right?
Yes, you have.
Well, you've discovered that they're doing it, haven't they? All right.
Gordon Woodward posted on my Facebook.
Okay, we're gonna. I want to talk about that when we come back, because this is the folks. This is the beginning of the end. I'm not kidding around. I know I'm turning into a joke, but it really is. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it and you'll be a believer too.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. Nowhere is performance enhancement more important than in the bedroom. That's why I use VIP from Geared Up Nutrition. VIP is a blend of herbal and botanical agents that maximize pleasure and performance, and it works for women too. In fact, VIP is so good you'll swear it's pharmaceutical, but it's not. And best of all, you only need one capsule about an hour before you're about to get passionate, and VIP works for up to 3 days. You can get VIP by going to veryintensepleasure.com. Try it once and you'll buy it again and again. Veryintensepleasure.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation, because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle. Burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Oh, no, no, no. We just went that way. No. We just went that way. No. We just went that way. There it go.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
Stage to stage, club to club, spot to spot.
Uh-oh.
There they go.
Was that a curse word? another song I got to get out of the database.
That's a good thing I wasn't even listening to it. I was reading something.
Would have singed your eyebrows. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Before we get started on my discussion about the fact that they are finally going to feed us our own poop, and this is not a joke, I want to mention that we're doing an interview next week with the folks who make VIP. And you're going to want to listen to this. This stuff really does work. I'm not joking about it. I'll tell you something. It's a natural form of PDE5 inhibitor. which is how Cialis works and all that sort of stuff. And regardless of whether or not you have issues, it allows you to perform definitely much better.
Just think if you take that along with the watermelon
grind. There you go. That's it. You may not want to lay down because a jet flying over may run into you.
That's not funny.
Have to put little red lights at the top so things don't hit it. Anyway. All right. So let's talk about this. I have said time and time again on this show. As a matter of fact, I even said it the day that we did pet food politics,
mm-hmm.
when she was saying how feeding pets this garbage is good because at least we use it. And I said, you know what? I don't agree with that. I believe that if companies could feed us our own poop, they would. And lo and behold, the country, one of the countries that everybody in the United States turns to and goes, oh, you know, we need to eat more like them. They don't get cancer. They don't have heart attacks. They have discovered a way to feed their people their own poop. Japan.
Imagine that.
Yeah. You know, these are the guys that are on Dr. Oz going, well, the Japanese don't get heart attacks and the Japanese don't get have cancer because they don't eat protein. They don't eat protein. Not only do they eat protein, but they eat their own poop because they want the protein from it. Tell the story.
Well, evidently, the Tokyo Service Sewage Department went to a professor. His last name is Ikeda.
Okay.
He's a researcher at Okayama Laboratories.
Okayama.
And anyway, he they said they had too much human excrement.
Yeah. A problem we have here in the United States as well. You just have to look at the Jerry Springer show. So, go ahead.
So, he basically took the first step was to cook the bacteria, killing them.
So, first they got poop.
They got the poop
out of the sewage system.
The sewer mud is what they call it.
Ah, yes, good word. You know, it just like the people in the corn producing industry, they want to rename high fructose corn syrup corn sugar. We're not going to call this poop. We're going to call it sewer mud. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so the first step is to cook the bacteria, killing them, and then extract their proteins via a separation technique
called depoopalizing. Go ahead.
Then soy protein is added to enhance the flavor.
So we add nature's poop to man's poop. Go ahead.
The meat mixture travels to a reaction enhancer, like a chemical reactor of some sort, where it turns into a textured meat and is then extruded through an exploder.
The exploder, I bet, looks just like a human ass. Go ahead.
Listen to this. The delicious steak
is
even finished with red food color to give it a comforting hue.
Oh, that's nice. And small pieces of undigested corn are left in it to keep its authenticity.
And Mr. Ikeda claims that in initial testing, people found the feces steak to taste somewhat like beef.
Yeah, somewhat like beef. Especially if the person whose poop was used ate steak earlier that day, it probably tastes even more like steak then.
I bet Taco Bell will sell it.
Absolutely. Yeah, Taco Bell will absolutely add this to their taco meat. And then they'll be able to say it's 100%. No, they won't. It won't be able. No one will be able to say it's beef. What will they call this? I mean, they have to come up with a name for it. No one is going to knowingly walk into a restaurant or a store and go, give me 2 pounds of human poop meat. You know, what are they going to call it?
Oh, I don't know. But he also says that right now, because of the research that it's taking to do all this, it's 10 to 20 times more expensive.
Yeah, but that's because they're in the research and development phase. Costs are always front-loaded in the development of a new product. So the R&D phase, that'll be extended over the course of 10 years and paid back. So what they'll end up doing is once they decide how this can be done and they build the big factories to do it, which will probably be right next to the sewage refineries, so they can suck the poop fresh right out of the sewage refineries and make wonderful meat for the Japanese people. I think that's wonderful. I applaud the Japanese people for eating their own poop. I think that's a nice thing to do for the country.
Listen to this. It says the new meat is also healthier than traditional meat, as it's an ideal mix of 63% proteins, 25% carbs, 3% lipids, and 9% minerals.
Oh, so it'll be the first carb-loaded meat, too. How are they getting carbs in there? What are they adding? Food starches and stuff? They must be adding some sort of starch to it to hold it together.
It says the small fat content in particular makes the feces steak healthier than their animal counterparts.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I you know what? The first thing I thought about when you talked about this was this, it's got to be healthier to eat mine or at least someone else's feces than it does to just get a steak from a cow. This is disgusting. People, this is the beginning of the end. Does anybody remember that movie Soylent Green where they were actually feeding people to people? This is the first step towards that. First, they'll feed us our own poop. And once they go, wow, they'll eat their own poop. Then they'll figure out a way to take the decomposing body. Like, it, you know how on the back of your driver's license you can elect to donate your organs? They're going to have another checkbox there to donate your body to food. And then, so then what they'll do is they'll just take you when you die and they'll put you through a big meat processor and human mud will come out the other end. They'll turn that into steak and you'll go into a restaurant and you go, I'd like a Danish steak, which is a steak made from Danish people. I'd like a Danish steak. You know, I think I'm going to go Italian tonight. What do you got? Well, we got a guy from Sicily that was killed early this morning. We can make a steak out of him for you.
That's just... It's disgusting.
It's the beginning of the end. When they get people to eat their own poop, folks, that's it. Lights out. Put the key in the door and go home. This is the beginning of the end. I'm telling you. I talked about it on the show. I said someday they're going to figure out how to make people eat their own poop, and they're doing it.
It's not really a laughing matter.
No, it's
just,
not.
It's disgusting.
It is disgusting. It is disgusting. Okay. All right. So where do we go from there? My
Talk
God.
About disgusting. You know, I was reading an article the other day. Did you know that an estimated 24.8 million and 21.8 million men and 21.1 million women still smoke?
Yeah, that is shocking.
That's shocking.
And
that to
there's
me.
Like and I remember reading a statistic that there's 600,000 new smokers a year.
How many?
600,000 new smokers a year.
Still?
Yeah.
In the U.S.?
Most of them young kids. Yeah.
That was in the U.S. These statistics.
Yeah, and no, I'm talking about in the U.S. There's 600,000 new smokers every single year. Now, think about this. There are 400,000 people who die every year as a result of complications due to cigarette smoking, and there are 600,000 new smokers a year. So what's going to happen now is in a decade, two decades, three decades, that'll catch up. Instead of there being 400,000 deaths a year, there'll be 600,000 deaths a year. It takes a while for the deaths to catch up with the new smokers. But yeah, there's 600,000 new smokers every single year. So there's actually 600,000 really stupid people out there.
Wow, that's awful.
I say this is Darwinianism at its best. I mean, this is it.
What did you read where the FDA now has come up with the cigarette companies have to put warning labels on the cigarette packages.
You mean more threatening than these will kill you?
Well, you know, they have the little label that says the general surgeon has whatever,
determined that smoking cigarettes will kill you.
Exactly.
Right?
Well, that has not changed. That warning label has not changed for 25 years.
Right.
So finally, the FDA has made the the decision to make the cigarette companies change that. But get this, we're the 44th nation to do. I mean, Mexico's already done it. Canada's done it. Much of Europe has done it. Parts of South America has done it. Australia has. And we're the 44th.
Right, right. The country that cares the most about its people, we're on the back end of making this decision. But I predict that these will have the same impact that telling people that tobacco use will kill you. You know, I don't think there's anything more startling than that black box warning on the side that says the Surgeon General has determined that this will cause lung cancer and death, premature death. And people turn their nose up at that and smoke cigarettes. So what are these going to say?
They're going to have pictures. They're going to actually have photographs.
Pictures of dead bodies.
9 graphic warnings, including one picturing what appears to be a dead man with stitches down his chest and the words, "Smoking can kill you."
Yeah. You know what? I predict, and I'm going to make a statement without any basis for knowing that this is right. And you mark my words, a decade from now, we're going to find out that what I'm saying is right. The tobacco industry has already done the research, and they know that these warnings are going to actually make more people want to smoke. Kid, think about who starts smoking. You don't start smoking in your 30s and 40s. You start smoking in your teens, right?
Yes.
So teens, those teen years, these kids are all about being bad, being thug, being tough. I don't care. I'm not afraid. Oh, you know what? That's a dead body. I want to look like that. Give me a pack of cigarettes. You mark my words. We're going to find out a decade from now that when the tobacco industry finally agreed, and trust me, the FDA is not forcing the tobacco industry. The FDA got the word from the tobacco industry here in the United States, and they said, okay, we're ready to do this. And the FDA said, okay, we're going to announce it. The FDA is not twisting their arm. Trust me on this one. And the tobacco industry has already done the research, and they know that this will not only not impact their business negatively, but it's going to make more people want to smoke. Now, you mark my words, 5 years from now, you're going to find out that there's more new smokers every year than there are today. You watch. Just like I predicted people, they're going to try to feed people their own poop. I'm making another prediction right now. Write it down. Write it down. So there you go.
All right.
These will have no impact whatsoever. They will not have the impact that anyone really thinks they're going to have.
Do you have a crystal ball?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
That's change in my pocket. you didn't get that. No, anyway, okay. No. Okay, so the FDA also has done something else magnanimous, right? After 30-something years.
Well, I don't understand. How come it takes the FDA? I mean, we were the 44th nation to change the – finally make them do something with the cigarettes.
Right.
So how come it's taken them 33 years to do something about sunscreen?
I don't know. I guess it's not important to them. Either that or the sunscreen industry is such a huge lobbying – has such a huge lobbying effort that the FDA, they've convinced the FDA that it's not important that what people rub on their body and absorb.
Well, they finally came out with something after 33 years, and the Environmental Working Group was really pushing them to come to a decision. So they drafted something in 2007, but what they came out with this year was totally different than what they drafted in 2007. What are you doing?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So basically what they did was they caved to industry and weakened its safety standards.
Right. Right.
They continue to allow oxybenzone in it.
Okay.
Which has safety concerns. This is something that's toxic.
Right.
And retinol. Palmitate,
right.
Retinol. Do you know anything about those?
I've heard of retinol palmitate. I thought that was a form of vitamin A, actually. I thought it was. I think that's a form of vitamin A.
Well, scientists says that both of those are toxic.
Okay. All right.
So.
Well, we know that vitamin A in high doses can be toxic. So
right.
It may be.
A bit of the good news is that the FDA is barring the misleading terms waterproof, sweatproof, and sunblock.
Because they're not.
Right.
So these agents are no longer going to be able to call sunblock.
Mm-mm.
Because they don't block the sun.
No.
They're going to have to be called sunscreens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which clothing is a sunscreen, technically. When you think about it, the fibers in clothing screen the sun. So,
right.
Yeah. So, but interestingly enough, the FDA has moved so quickly on that 30-something years. But God forbid someone want to get a prescription for growth hormone from their physician. Boy, they pounce on that one pretty quickly.
Listen to this. 20% of the products that meet the FDA new standards are not sold in Europe because they don't meet the standards in Europe.
Yeah. So you know what we need to do?
Move to Europe.
Well, not you don't have to move to Europe, but look at what has been approved in Europe and only buy those. Because obviously the Europeans care more about their people than we do here.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting. We have to actually take our last commercial break. And when we come back, why don't we then talk about expiration dates? And we have some things to answer for people, right? Some
yes.
questions to answer. Okay. So let's do this. Let's take our last commercial break. And we'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, Superdrol, and Decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to IronMagLabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects: estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody about a couple coupon codes. OP Resource, Superhuman25 to save 25% off your peptides at opresource.net. And of course, whenever buying product from trueprotein.com, make sure you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Save 5% and let them know that you support the sponsors of Superhuman Radio. You know, products have expiration dates all the time. But how does a supplement like vitamin C know that a year has passed, or that a year is as long as it's going to be effective? How do they know?
I don't know.
It doesn't, right?
No.
No. So manufacturers put expiration dates on things, and the FDA apparently has some say-so on drug products, but they really don't have any say-so on over-the-counter products.
But they want to get that changed.
Yes, they do want to get that changed. And actually, I see expiration dates as benefiting the manufacturers of these products more so than the FDA, because let's face it, it's kind of like the people always say, hey, you know, they can make a light bulb that lasts 10 years, but they would be hurting their own industry if they did that, because mm-hmm. then you buy a light bulb once every 10 years, and no one's going to pay a lot of money for a light bulb, so it would have to be priced right, blah, blah, blah. So I see expiration dates as really benefiting the manufacturers that produce these products, because if you produce vitamin C and you put an expiration date on it of a year, then you know that person is going to come back at least once a year and have to buy their vitamin C again because they're going to throw it away. But how does the vitamin C know it goes bad? Or how do we even know that the vitamin C has gone bad?
Well, does the potency change?
It could. There's no doubt about it. It definitely could. Shelf life plays a role in here. Liquid vitamins tend to go bad a lot faster than vitamins that are cold pressed. So once you add water to anything or liquid to any, you liquefy anything, it breaks down through the process of hydrolysis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, liquid vitamins absolutely would get weaker with every passing month. But capsule vitamins, I don't think so. And cold pressed vitamins that don't have liquid in the process to make them clump together would not go bad. I don't understand why. I mean, I've taken supplements. I remember a couple years ago, I was taking DHEA that was 2 years old. I mean, it didn't change colors. It didn't look different. I'm saying to myself, well, how do I know that it went bad? Why would I throw it away now?
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up finishing the bottle. But you're saying the FDA wants to control over-the-counter drugs now.
Yes.
Supplements.
Yes.
So they're going to force people to put expiration dates.
Yes.
Are they looking at certain segments or just everything over-the-counter?
Well, no, it's different segments. Sunscreen is one of them.
Now they're going to jump on the sunscreen bandwagon right away, obviously.
And they said that it does degrade with time and extreme temperatures. And you do have to realize that, you know, you take your sunscreen to the beach with you, and so it is in extreme temperatures.
Right.
So if it looks and smells and feels all right, then it probably is still good.
Right.
Condoms is another one.
I don't understand how condoms go bad. I mean, if the wrapper is on them and they're sealed properly and they're in a drawer, how does it go bad?
The FDA requires that they have an expiration date up to 5 years from the date of packaging.
That's pretty reasonable, 5 years. I mean, if you're not having sex that often when you can have a condom laying around for 5 years, maybe you should throw them away anyway.
Storing condoms for prolonged periods in hot environments.
Probably. The rubber breaks down. Yeah.
The latex.
Yeah.
Isn't it latex?
Yeah. I could see that happening. Oxidation would break down the latex also if there was a tear in the packaging. So, what other products are they looking to?
Well, you mentioned drugs, liquid and solid forms of drugs.
Yes. Liquid I could see. Absolutely liquid. But you know what? I would think that the manufacturer would be required to test to see what percentage of a product degrades over the course of a year. And granted, they don't have to actually wait a whole year. As we know from our friend who works at Brown Foreman,
mm-hmm.
they can actually age liquors faster by putting them through these heat-cold cycles, which by manipulating the oxygen ratios and so on, that they can actually accelerate the process that occurs over the course of a year into just a couple months. So maybe they don't have to wait a whole year. Maybe they go through this accelerated aging process and they test it and they go, well, it's still good. You know, and not just give it an arbitrary, well, this is only good for 1 year, but really look at these products and say, you know what, this product lasts 7 years, so it'll be good for 7 years.
Hmm. Another one that you probably know about is eye drops.
I don't know much about eye drops. I mean, I know that they want to put expiration dates on those from the article, but again, that's one of those things. Liquids don't last as long.
Well, and also sterility is a concern with eye drops.
Yeah.
And what they use, the microbial overgrowth becomes less effective over time.
Right. And they do use bacteriostatic agents in eye drops to keep bacteria from growing, but they can't put too much in there because you're putting it in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a touchy situation. So the FDA wants the over-the-counter industry to start adding expiration dates. How long will it take, or how long is the FDA giving them, or are they giving them a time frame? They're just starting to talk about it now.
I
think they're just starting to talk about it now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I predict that this is one of the things that the over-the-counter industry will embrace because it will actually affect their sales positively.
Well, don't most of them already have expiration dates on them?
Sure. Of course. I mean, when you buy vitamin C, it has a date that it was made on it. I don't know if it has an expiration date on it, however. I'm going to have to look.
Most vitamins
do, right?
Do. Uh-huh.
I think they arbitrarily
pick
a year.
Toothpaste does.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I know that the fluoride in toothpaste becomes less effective over time.
Okay.
And according to you, then you should use expired toothpaste.
Yes, you should use expired toothpaste so the fluoride doesn't bother you. Yeah, exactly.
And then also the anti-tartar and the whitening agents that are used,
right.
They will degrade in time as well.
Yeah. And once again, here we are dealing with a liquid, really. We call it paste, but it's actually a liquid. Yeah, so there you go. So look for expiration dates and make your own decisions. I think there are some things that you can ignore the expiration dates. You have to decide which those are yourself. We have a couple questions to answer before the end of the show.
Gordon Woodward posted one. You just said something about DHEA.
Right.
That you do take it. Because his question was, does Carl use DHEA? And if so, what form and dose?
I have not used it in the past couple months. But up through a couple months ago, well, actually, I haven't used it. That's a lie. I haven't used it since December. So 6 months I haven't used it. I've been out of it. I've used it consistently for the past 4 or 5 years. I have taken tablets before, but then I got liquid DHEA from Pure Encapsulations, I believe, through Dr. Peter Rouse. And I like that better. I like the liquid better because you just drop it under your tongue. And it's only 4 or 5 milligrams per drop, but that's all you need because it's not being digested. It goes right into the bloodstream under the tongue. So, yes, I do. I like DHEA. I think it's a very, very important supplement. Interestingly enough, but before you ask that question, interestingly enough, California, one of the most liberal states in the world, is now moving to put a black box warning on DHEA and pregnenolone, saying that they could be dangerous. In the face of research that's gone on for the past decade showing that DHEA and pregnenolone are not only safe but effective in allowing people to stave off age-related disease, the state of California is going to put a warning label on there to scare people away from using it.
You're kidding me.
I know. I'm really surprised about that one because California usually is the champion of the people, but this is one where they're missing the boat. Go ahead. What's the other question?
Oh, I was just going to – Adelfo posted a video on your Facebook from YouTube – turd burgers.
So this is the poopy meat.
Solution to the global food crisis. Let them eat turd burgers.
There you go. Perfect. A turd burger. I'll have a turd burger and a biggie fries, please. There you go. That's great. That sounds appetizing, a turd burger.
Oh, that's just disgusting.
Let me answer Ben Wiley. Ben Wiley has a question, and I've been going back and forth and trying to elucidate some answers for him. Whenever Ben does back squats, and he does these typically 3 times a week. He gets a pain that radiates from his shoulder down to his mid-forearm wrist area. And he considers he would describe the discomfort as a hot feeling or a kind of electrical stimulation. And, I mean, setting aside any cardiac issues, which I don't think that's what it is, because it wouldn't radiate that way and it wouldn't just go away, because it does go away. I asked him some questions. I asked him, first of all, if he placed the bar across his upper traps at shoulder level or lower traps below shoulder level, and he says well below shoulder level. So he's putting the bar in the right place, because one mistake people make when they squat is they put the bar up high, and then when they lean forward in the bottom of the squat, the bar presses against the back, the vertebrae at the cervical spine, and can actually pinch off blood supply and nerves. And what it will do is it'll precipitate as radiating pain down the arm into the fingertips. And sometimes if it's really bad, you'll get numbness in your fingertips, and your pinky finger and your next finger over to it, your ring finger, won't work properly. They'll start to freeze up a little bit. So, but he said that he's putting the bar way down, and he is sticking, following proper form. He is keeping his back musculature tight, blowing his belly out with a big breath for Valsalva. Form is pretty solid. So it's a low bar with the bar riding the lower traps. So then I asked him, could it be from shoulder joint? Are you holding with a narrow grip, hands close to your shoulders, or a wide grip, hands out by the plates? And his reply was, I get under the bar, nice and low on the low traps. And at this point, my hands are wide. But then once he settles under the bar and he gets in position, he brings his hands in purposefully, about 2 to 3 inches to allow his back musculature to tighten up and prepare for the squat. And then he lifts and he squats. And I would say to him that this is where the problem may be coming from. I would experiment with a slightly wider grip. That 2 to 3 inches, that little bit, bringing it in, could be putting his shoulders in a position where he's either pinching off a nerve or pinching off blood supply at the shoulder, and it's radiating down. The other thing it could be is his elbow. It could be radiating, actually, even though he feels it in his shoulder, it could be radiating up and down from his elbow. But it clearly sounds to me that he should experiment with a wider grip. Get his hands out closer to the bar. Find a different way to focus on the back musculature tightening up without cranking your arms all the way in an unnatural position. Because especially when you start getting heavy, having the bar down that low where he's supposed to have it and bringing your hands in like this can put your elbows and your shoulders in an unnatural position and put a lot of strain on them and your wrists, actually. So I would try going wider with my grip and see if the problem goes away. That's where I would start with that one. So there you go. Hopefully he'll have some more feedback and we can address it on a future show. What else do we have to talk about, Elisa?
There was one more question from Andrew Michael Barker.
Okay.
Can you recommend a book or study to better understand the optimal levels of testosterone and estrogen as they relate to brain health and preventions of Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and a book or study that defines the optimal levels of testosterone and estrogen as they relate to the immune system? Mm. And then Luke McMurray posted that he usually goes to Google Scholar for questions like that.
Right. And Google Scholar will pull up all different types of studies. It's really a good service. I mean, I don't know of a particular book because I've gotten a lot of this information from reading individual studies. I don't know that anybody has compiled a book. I think...
Do you have a show that you've done on that?
We've done so many shows on testosterone, it's ridiculous. But I think that Dr. Morgenthaler, M-O-R-G-A-N-T-A-H-L-E-R, has written a book about testosterone and health in men that you can look to for a lot of good information. Really the best thing to do is to go to a service like PubMed or HiWire and put in there testosterone, men, and the word healthy. So it'll automatically pull up healthy levels of this, healthy levels of that, and just read through the studies. As far as healthy levels, it's unique for everybody. The healthy levels of testosterone and estrogen for me may be different for you. Healthy levels would indicate that you're seeing benefits from it without any side effects, and that's going to vary from person to person. But in my humble opinion, having estrogen levels in the higher end of what is considered normal for men is a better thing than having it in the lower end of what is considered normal for men. And I would only accept a ultra-sensitive estrogen assay because men's estrogen levels are so low that the tests that are done for women start well above the low level for men. I mean, men's estrogen levels generally don't get up above 30 nanograms a deciliter, and women start at like 200 and go up.
Oh, wow.
So if you're not asking for an extra sensitive estrogen assay, and it's called something different at every lab, the information is bogus. Because none of them are that sensitive down that low, and they don't read right.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say shoot for the high end of normal for a man, which is probably in the 30s, and I would probably shoot for testosterone above 700 or 800 nanograms a deciliter to be on the safe side, and probably closer to 1,000 if you don't have any side effects or symptoms at those levels. But, yeah, I would look to Dr. Morgenthaler's book and really dig into some of the research out there. There's new research coming out now. Like we talked about yesterday with Anthony Roberts, that testosterone is actually a pro-social hormone. You know, testosterone has been bashed for so long as leading to aggression and rage and all these other negative things. And now they're finding out that testosterone is actually an altruistic hormone
that men are more calm, they're more relaxed, they're more forgiving when they have higher testosterone levels. And it's actually some of the female hormones that are related more to anxiety, rage, moodiness, and so on.
Estrogen.
Well, estrogen, the lack of oxytocin, the lack of prolactin, which when women start to go through menopause, their prolactin levels drop, their oxytocin levels drop, and they start to have this underlying feeling like, gee, I don't know what's wrong, but I'm just not satisfied with my life anymore.
Then how do you increase the levels?
Well, oxytocin and prolactin are both increased during sex.
Uh-huh.
One of the
have
things,
more sex.
Yes, have more sex. I know it sounds funny, but it's the truth. I mean, women produce a large spike of oxytocin and prolactin immediately after sex. They also produce an abnormally large spike of prolactin and oxytocin at childbirth, when they're actually squeezing the baby out, and that's what the bonding moment is between the child. That hormone actually makes you go, instead of going, oh my God, all the pain you just caused me, you go, oh my God, you're so beautiful. Those hormones really make women feel that way after going through all that pain.
What if they have a C-section?
They don't feel that as much. They don't. Unless they were in labor for a little while before they were there was a decision to have the C-section. But anyway, you know, the ways of raising oxytocin and prolactin really are through orgasm. And so women should endeavor more orgasms as they get closer to menopause to ensure that they have more oxytocin and prolactin.
And that just made me remember, I watched, you're not going to like this, I watched Dr. Oz.
Oh, that's okay.
The other day I was...
You're cheating on me.
I was doing cardio or something, and so I was listening, and only 29% of women have orgasms.
Of any type.
Of any type.
I know. It's amazing. So think about... No wonder why there are a lot of women out there who are really angry at men, because they blame men for not being able to orgasm, and it's them. It's really their problem. It's not men's problem. I mean, so a lot of women have hang-ups about their bodies. They don't understand how to let go and orgasm.
Well, that goes back to Hollywood. I mean, you know, it's all what the media and society makes you think about what the perfect ideal is.
And you're right. I'll bet a lot of women during sex, in their mind, they're thinking – I don't like my body. I hope he's not looking at this. I hope he's not looking at that. I hope he doesn't notice this. And they're like all wound up. You're absolutely right. That's a great observation.
But in all reality, it's not the man that's thinking that. It's just the woman.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right. More women could have orgasms if they would just let go of all that negative nonsense in their brain and just let it happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, isn't that sad? I mean, that's shocking. Only one third of all women can orgasm.
I know.
Oh my God, that's really sad. That's sad. Anyway, I think we've answered questions and we've covered bases. Do we have anything else we have to discuss?
No, the only thing you were talking about true protein just a few minutes ago.
Oh yeah.
I wanted to talk about. I was working at home, and I had bought these little. Popsicle things.
Yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do with them, but I was at the dollar store and they were a dollar. So I thought, well, I can use these for something.
Right.
So I got a few of them and I was making myself, a protein shake with the orange creamsicle,
which tastes really like orange.
It tastes like an orange creamsicle. And then like the little light bulb went off and I thought, oh, I'll put that inside the little popsicle thing.
Right.
To see, it's making me salivate thinking about.
Thinking about, right? They are so good.
To see if I can freeze them and see if they taste like an orange creamsicle. So I did that, and they taste so good. It tastes like an orange creamsicle.
Now you're
pop.
Working. You're working on the recipe. We should say the first rendition of this was what?
I only used 3 scoops of the protein.
So
powder.
75 grams of protein. Go ahead.
Right, and then I used almond milk.
16 ounces of almond milk.
Right. So I'm trying to work it out because I made 16 pops. So I'm going to try to get at least 10 grams of protein per pop.
So we have to use 160 grams of protein,
mm-hmm.
but you're probably going to have to cut back on the almond milk and use some water. Since almond milk is already pretty saturated, you'll be able to get more protein powder in the water.
Right, exactly. And then once I get the recipe perfected, I'm going to blog it.
Yeah, because they're delicious.
They are good.
I know. And if you could get – and they're tiny. They're just little tiny popsicles. But if you get 10 grams of protein out of that and very little carbs and just a little bit of fat, that's a great snack.
Yeah.
And, you know – kids are always asking about healthy snacks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't make these for yourself, make them for your kids.
Exactly. And they taste so good.
Yeah.
They do taste like an orange creamsicle.
Yeah. True protein really zeroed. They're,
Their flavors are some of the best I've ever had. They really are. Yeah, and it does taste like orange creamsicle.
Yep.
So there you go. So we'll blog about that. We're going to do some blogging this weekend and get caught up on some things that we want to get up there.
Yep.
Anything else, Miss Elisa?
Nope.
Okay. Well, that's it for another episode of Casual Friday on Superhuman Radio. And that seals another week in the studio. We will have a lot of great, we got great shows next week. We got a show for the women about training while pregnant.
I know. That's going to be awesome.
Yes, that's going to be a great show. So we'll see you next week. And keep in mind my new mantra, along with muscle is metabolic currency, don't let them feed you your own poop. We'll be back next week.
Bye.
You know you can listen to Superhuman Radio while mobile? That's right. Go to the iPhone store and download the free Shoutcast app and then search for the Superhuman channel.